96% of B2B buyers want content with more input from industry thought leaders. Launch a podcast and invite influencers on your show to position your brand as an industry leader. Learn more at salesculture.work.
What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Lemon. Welcome back to the podcast. Really excited to have this guest on with me today. I want to get right into the interview. It's with Darren. He's the co-founder of Hugo. And Hugo is a platform that helps better connect teams. So he's coming out with a book that talks about 10Xing your company culture. And we just have a really fun conversation. And I got to be honest, I'm a little biased here because I'm excited to be working with Darren. I'm getting him set up on other podcasts that are relevant to his space and see how that, and see if we can help swing over some more of those strategic partnerships and build some awareness around all the great things that they're doing over at Hugo. So if you're interested in working with Darren or talking with them on your podcast, please hit me up. I'll have my contact information in the show notes. With that said, I don't want to hesitate. I want to get right into it. So sit back and enjoy this conversation with me and Darren from Hugo. I love the fact that you guys are looking at doing things differently to kind of give some context to the guys. I mean, so we kind of linked up because I cold emailed you about like podcast guesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I think there's a play here. Not sure if it makes sense for your business, but maybe check it out. And you were like, I'm interested. And so that's how we linked up.
The first cold email I've replied to in easily a year. You got me. I thought you were like listening to my conversations at work or something. I was like, man, he can read my mind. We need a chat.
I mean, like, honestly, so why did you reply that? I mean, because most people don't reply to cold emails. I mean, how do you get like a reply on the first one without having any context about me?
Because your email didn't look super salesy. Okay. With like, hey, want to chat to you about insert company name. Great to talk soon. Insert first name. It looked real like written by a human. Yeah. But it was a pain that I really wanted to explore. Podcasting has been a really interesting area for us as we've started to learn more about it. We've had been on a couple of other great podcasts that have gone really well. And it's something we were literally talking about the day before, going, man, we need to get more serious about podcasting. Enter Joe Lemon, and here we are.
Timing's everything sometimes, man. You know what? It was really just ad hoc. I really wish I had some of those insights from Google and Amazon so I can hear everybody's voice and hit them at the right time. But totally. But so what kind of got you into listening to like podcasts? What's some things that kind of drew you into the space in the first place?
Sure, totally. So I'm a first-time founder. We obviously are learning things the hard way for the first time, like many others building businesses out there. So we do everything we can to try and have the benefit of people who have done it before.
Yeah.
Reading is one. It takes so long. So I've got all these great books, always got a list of things I need to read and a bunch of recommendations. But who has time to read? We're working hard, got a young family now here in the city, and you get home and you know it never happens. So podcasting is a way for me to learn from other people, hear these stories while I'm in the car, while I'm walking, while I'm getting other things done. And it's so much more natural. Like I can have a real conversation with a human and learn something rather than go and read, you know, some snobby written academic principles of management book. So it's just a more normal way to get to know someone and learn something helpful.
Love it, man. Love it. Well, you know what? Enough plugging about podcasts because that's obviously my whole angle, but let's talk about you and your business.
Sure.
Now, man, you're originally from Australia, right?
That's right.
Are you from like Sydney or are you from
Sydney?
Okay.
You bet. Yeah.
I mean, everyone says that Sydney's a lot like being in the US. Is that true or no?
Yeah. It's a lot like California, particularly like LA, Southern California.
Really?
Pretty nice, great life there, super laid back, lots of sun, lots of surf. But it's a tough place to build a business. It's
Talk
getting better.
Yeah.
Aussies are just very relaxed and very chilled out. And it's a great place to work. We have like 6 weeks a year of PTO by law and big holiday season over Christmas. And that's all really good. But when you're trying to hustle and build a business in a laid back country with only 24 million people, it's a tough gig. So we made the move up here.
Man, that's pretty interesting. So, you know, like talking about hustling, because you guys are in the heart of the hustle, I would say, when it comes to tech.
Sure.
I mean, being in San Francisco is the mecca for everything tech related. And there's a lot of unicorns coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys probably see a lot of that activity, right? I mean, how is it flipped coming from, you know, Australia coming to out to the Bay, man? Because the Bay has a different hustle, I would say.
It does. Really does. It's completely different. You're right. You're amongst the, you know, the biggest people in the room, the biggest companies in the room, all the unicorns every week. Yeah. It's great because the serendipity is like nowhere else. I'll be in an Uber pool or be at a bar and you'll start talking to someone and you realize that they're running partnerships at Stripe or they're doing this or that Atlassian. And, you know, you build these really great relationships that help what you do.
Okay.
The downside is you can't escape it. I feel like sometimes all I want to do is just talk about basketball and you know, I get caught up talking about valuations for some, you know, capital raise. So it's definitely very immersive, but it's super helpful for doing what we do.
Very interesting, but that you kind of went there with it too, man, because one of the things that I've been into, because like podcasting is so big and there's, you know, tons of podcasts dropping all the time, and I'm like, there's no way in the world where I can find all these podcasts, listen to them, right? Sometimes you just want to break away. So how do you break away, man?
Yeah. We travel a bunch. Okay. So something I love about this country is so much to see and do, and every little spot is like nowhere else.
Yeah.
So we get out of the city as much as we can. Even in California, you can drive to Yosemite, you can go out to Napa and Tahoe. You know, you can go down to Carmel, Monterey, like there's beautiful places in driving distance or a short flight away. And being, you know, not from here, it's pretty incredible to explore more of the amazing country that's here. So that's one. Two, great comedy scene in SF.
The comedy is good out here.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Everybody comes through here, man.
Seriously.
I mean, you know what? The main spots used to always be New York and, of course, LA. But I mean, but I feel like the Bay has a nice draw of comedy.
Totally. And it's like kind of underground. You pay like 10, 15 bucks at these, you know, these great bars hidden in the city and you get these amazing comics.
Yeah.
So that's a big, that's a good one. I do that a lot. Yeah.
It's cool. All right, man. So if you don't mind, I want to talk about your business.
All right. We have to.
Yeah, I guess we have to. It is sales culture. It is business. But tell me then. So you were in corporate law beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm assuming you just got tired of corporate law and you were like, what's next? Or how'd you leave corporate law so you can get to tech?
Yes.
How does that leave?
Sure. So I've always seen myself as a bit of an entrepreneur. Like growing up in high school and college, I had the mobile DJ business with a buddy.
Oh, really?
We did like hundreds and hundreds of birthdays and weddings and things like that. Like we're always sort of hustling to build something out of nothing. And I went to law school just because I did. It wasn't even a conscious decision. It just sort of one thing led to another.
Yeah.
And then got a graduate job and found myself on that train. And it was intellectually stimulating, but something drove me crazy in that I was exposed all day to these inefficiencies and opportunities to improve process and such frustration around meetings, but you can't do anything about it. There's this template, right? If you're in the corporate world, you just do what the person before you's done.
Yep.
You work around the clock, you do what you're told, and you sort of shut up, do your job, and you take some money home and off you go. Mm-hmm. And that just drove me crazy. I couldn't handle that because I would see opportunities to offer clients additional value. No, that's not beyond our scope as lawyers, or ways to fix processes and be more efficient. And they're like, no, don't worry about that. Just keep reading those contracts. So I enough was enough. And I was chatting to a buddy of mine who was based here in San Francisco already, complaining about my number one frustration, which was meetings. Meetings made no sense. All I did all day was attend meetings.
Isn't that crazy? Like, and like corporate men, I mean, and you're absolutely right too about that. I don't mean to just kind of jump in there, but it's like meetings are frustrating in corporate life because it's that template that people just cookie cut out and they don't really ask questions. Or if you do ask questions, you might get scolded and that looks negative on your,
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing about being in professional services like law, you have an hourly rate. So you can see the cost of meetings that suck.
Yeah.
You'd walk out of a meeting that I didn't need to be in where I just took notes or I just had to sit there. And I'm like, that was $800.
Yeah.
And that just rubs it in your face. And interestingly, I guess, you know, growing up in sort of this generation, so much has changed about the way we work. We work remotely now. We have distributed teams. We're using so many different bits of software in our stack. The level of autonomy and decentralized decision making is more than ever before, but we still meet the same way. We all still need to be here. We still write our notes. There's still actions. Half it doesn't get done. People that weren't in the room have no idea what happened. Why hasn't it kept up? And that was where the pain really came from, the frustration.
I love that, man. Just because you guys are just trying to scratch your own itch for the most part, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, especially lawyers. I mean, you're right. You can charge all this money per hour, and you're like, what happened with the time? I mean, right? I mean, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. I'm not trying to throw the lawyers under the bus there, but
totally.
But I mean, so all right. So you were building Hugo while you were in Australia, or did you leave Australia to build Hugo?
Left Australia to build Hugo here.
Okay.
We started with something completely different.
Really?
The usual story. So meetings is what really drove us crazy. So we thought, all right, if we can just prepare for meetings better, we're onto something. So we built this great app that would ping you and say, hey, you're chatting to Joe in 30 minutes. Here's what you need to know about Joe.
Right.
We got in the hands of a couple of thousand people and things were looking all right. But our team started to break apart. Mm. So my co-founder, Josh, and myself were out on the road all day, you know, meeting customers, doing research, investors, partners, everything that you need to do when you're building a business, as you know.
Sure.
And the team who were in the office just didn't get it. We'd come back and we'd say, hey guys, we just spoke to these five people. This is what I think we should do. These are these concerns. But they weren't in the meeting and they just couldn't appreciate what we were taking away from that. So as the team started to fracture based on those that were part of the conversations and those that weren't, we built ourselves a little hack. We built a Slack plugin. It's pretty easy to build for Slack in the early days especially, where it would ping me based on my calendar and say, hey, you just caught up with Joe, I saw in your calendar, what happened? And I'd just reply via Slack saying, good chat, we did this, we said that, etc. And it would share it with the team right away.
Nice.
So we'd come back to the office and it was like the whole team was in the meeting with us. Everyone would already be actioning those insights, making the right decisions because they were part of the meeting. And one thing led to another and our team transformed. So we built on top of that. We said, okay, cool. But now my CRM needs to stay updated too with those. And we use Trello, perhaps a project management. I want those Trello cards to be created with actions. And Hugo became what it is today, connected meeting note software. And our customers were much more excited about what we were doing as a team than the mobile app we were selling before. So we dropped the mobile app and pivoted to productize like what we were doing as a business.
Love that, man. I mean, man, you know what's so funny too is that a lot of times, especially because, you know, I'm on the front line with a lot of things, or I'm working with reps on the front line.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we want to sell something, like, because we want to.
Yep.
And we think this is the right thing, but the market or your end users may say, damn it, dude, I want that though.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what happened. I'm like, no, you can't have that. I'm selling this. I'm like, no, but I want to do what your team's doing.
I want the back pocket option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I'm like, all right, well, here, take this. How much does it cost? I don't know. Yeah. So that's essentially what we did. And we just moved all the resources onto building, kept building on top of what we had.
Yeah.
The rest is history, as they say. That became Hugo, and that's where we are today.
Love it, man. That's pretty interesting. I mean, so how long was that process? Like, was it a year, or are we talking about
a year? Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So wow, it took you guys about a year to kind of to really go through that pivot.
Totally.
Interesting. You know, and you would think, people think of pivots happening pretty quickly.
Nah.
Quarterly pivots, but talk about
once
it.
You know that that's what you need to do, it's quick.
Yeah.
But that learning takes time. You know, we had to, I guess, our team had to have those issues to find the opportunity for us to solve it. But once we knew that's what we needed to do, then it was all on.
So how does the app work exactly? I'm just trying to get a good understanding
totally.
Of it.
So Hugo, we call it connected meeting notes software. So we say what that means is centralized searchable meeting notes connected to your calendar, your team, and 20 plus other tools. So it's a web app. We go in, it's got all my calendar in there. So I can see there, there's, you know, catch up, Darren and Joe. I click that meeting. I start taking my notes for the meeting. And as I'm writing those notes, I can loop in anyone else in the business at sales, at product, at engineering. I can highlight any bit of it and send that out to other tools. That might be a bug in the software that goes to Zendesk or Jira. That could be a marketing action that goes to Asana. I can sync the note with my CRM. And when I save the note, it then organizes automatically by the contact, by the company, by the project, shares it to Slack so other people in the business who weren't there knows what's happening. And then as a company, we've got this central repository of all these meeting insights from everyone that my whole business has met. So we're all on the same page, can pick up where others left off, and it's all connected.
Makes too much sense, man. I mean, because hands down, one of the biggest things about tech is that it does fragment people at times. It gets people to kind of go off into their actual silos and, you know, just really think about the whole future of work, right? I mean, you look at everything that's happening around about how people are working more of these gig type of projects, and they're not even really maybe a part of companies anymore, but they still need to have access so they can execute properly, right?
So funny you say that. One of the we think a lot about the future of work there, and on, with the gig economy trend, we initially defined a team as people that work together. Wasn't even a controversial decision we made when we architected the software. You share a domain name, you have the same email address, and you work together. Literally week one, we're getting all these inbound bits of feedback saying, "Hey man, we work together, we're on a team, but we're not like on the same W-2, you know, we're not, I'm a contractor in for this project, or I'm an agency that's helping them out with that." And we've learned so much over the last 12 months that teams aren't what, don't mean what they used to mean.
What are you seeing?
Exactly that. This sort of amoebic, like morphing definition of a team where you and I are on a team, we work together. Doesn't matter what the IRS considers us to be, right? We work in a team together. And then next week, that could be someone else that's working with us, and then someone else instead of them the week after. We use Upwork and those platforms a bunch. We engage contractors. We use agencies, and the team is some sort of mix of all of that.
It's very fluid, right? I mean, I see, and I would love to hear what you think where it's going to go in the future. But I mean, this whole project-based work, I don't know how it's going to not be here for a long time. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. It's allowed our business to scale. Like, you know, we think about cloud computing was was so innovative and such a game changer because you could scale up your infrastructure in an elastic way. Yep. If we need double the servers, in 10 seconds we can have double the servers. We're getting that now with people.
Yeah.
So with fast-growing companies who can't hire quickly enough, with people based all over the country, with different skill sets, we can expand our team in an elastic way, just like we can our servers. I can go out to the Upworks of the world and say, I need 5 writers like now. I need 2 illustrators tomorrow, and our team can just grow like that.
It's really cool, man. I mean, yeah, you know, if you think about where people are looking, and even, you know, all this conversation around having the scarcity of talent, it's like, so if you can't find the talent, then maybe you bring someone that definitely has that skill set. Might not be the full person, right?
Exactly.
For the actual project, but you can kind of build them together, like almost like a transformer.
100%. Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting kind of how that's going to play out for you guys, though, man. So are you guys working with larger companies or smaller teams, would you say?
A typical customer for us is SME mid-market, so sort of 20 to 250, 300. Yep. Headcount, and that's just a function of when we're marketing led. We don't have a sales team. We can talk more about that in a sec, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
But they're the best companies. You're the easiest companies to enter, where people try new tools, adopt them, and they spread like wildfire. We don't have to go through procurement processes and things like that, which are common in the enterprise.
Which is really nice because it's less tape, right?
Exactly.
Man, exactly. So you already kind of hinted around like sales. Obviously,
yeah.
It's called sales culture. I'm into sales. I love sales. Full transparency. We are working together. I'm trying to get you booked on more shows. So that's our angle. But talk about your actual sales process now, or maybe how that's been evolving.
Yeah. So something that's in our DNA, amongst particularly my co-founder and I, and then the rest of the team, is that we're terrible salespeople.
What?
We suck at sales. maybe it's a function of being Aussies and too laid back for here. I don't know. But it's just not something that, you know, is it's not a muscle that I have or we have.
Are you not interested in trying to work the muscle? Is that what
it
is? No,
it's definitely interested. Yeah? Okay. But you know, some people have just got it, right? They hit the ground like selling. They've been selling their whole life, right?
Sure.
And then other people, it's just not what they do. They've got to really train that muscle and develop those skills.
100%.
I'm in the second category.
Okay.
And we've always really been excited by the concept of product-led growth and marketing-led growth and things like that. The reason being, it's one to many. I can go and sit and I can go put out a really great piece of content, can wake up in the morning, I can have 10 new customers. Whereas if I'm running around to meet people, there's only, you know, if I have 10 meetings, the maximum upside is 10 customers.
It's not efficient. Yeah.
I appreciate different products need different models. You can't go and sell a, you know, $1 million a year contract with a blog post. It helps, but it's very rare that you can sell it. And you know, we're in this sort of consumer B2B space, so it works for us. But we're really excited by that concept of marketing led growth. So we sort of architected our business based on that. We don't have a sales team. All of our customer acquisition costs goes into marketing and telling our story. And it's been working really well for us.
Hey, man, if it's working, it's working. I mean, yeah, I mean, you. I mean, like, one thing about sales, and one of the reasons I even like to, you know, do podcasts with like lots of my clients is that it's just that. Like, I can have this one conversation, and then I share it out, and I say, hey, you might have had the same thoughts or ideas or questions, and then maybe we can try to kill two birds with like 20 stones, right?
Right? Totally, exactly.
I mean, it's definitely a nice way to scale. So do you guys have any plans of evolving sales in the future or not too much?
No, I think so. So we have a freemium model. So that means Hugo is completely free for small teams. And then then you pay as your team gets larger or if you want additional features. So what that means is that we're acquiring users and potential customers every day with these marketing channels. And then some of them upgrade to become paid. So the opportunity that presents itself is to have a sales team that are focusing on those free teams and trying to upsell them, or the small teams in big companies and trying to upsell them. So there's always room for the sort of skill set and experience that comes with a great sales team.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we'll get eventually. But for our first, few thousand customers, we've really done everything we can to go self-serve and marketing led.
That's so good though, man. I mean, and, I'm curious too, are you having your customers start to, maybe tell the people, do you guys have those programs in place?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The referral stuff, or even better is where it's baked into the product. So if there's a reason to share Hugo within Hugo, and that's something we're looking at a lot at now, how can we collaborate around meetings together? So I invite you and then you invite your clients and so on and so forth.
That's the best. I mean, like to me, like even though I'm obviously very selfishly into sales, but like there's no better salesperson than your customer.
For sure.
I mean, like somebody that's invested, they're spending money with you and like, hey, let's do something. And even if it's something that might not be that profitable, but again, if you have them pitching the product or them pitching you opposed to you guys doing it, I don't care who you guys
have. And it's genuine.
Yeah, it's genuine. Yeah. It's 100%.
Talking
about
something they love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
love it,
that's
man.
The plan for sure.
How are you guys thinking about trying to bake it into more of the meeting prospect? Yeah. What's the ideas there?
Well, so we were talking a bit before about the changing definition of teams. That gives us an interesting opportunity, right? So if we work really closely with an agency we're on a team, we talk every week, we have lots of meetings together. If we can bring them into our Hugo team so we can collaborate on those meetings, if we can have a space for all our common meetings, agendas, and notes, they are obviously on board with Hugo now. They have lots of other clients. They see the value of Hugo working with us. Well, they're going to go to all the other clients and say, hey, you guys should get onto Hugo too. So creating that collaborative space between companies, not just within a company, is one way that we're going after product-led growth.
Love that, man. Because, I got this idea that, and one of the reasons I think that podcasting is going to have a big play if people use it for like a B2B sales way, you got to be careful because you can't be cheesy about that because you're coming to meet strangers. You don't want to just hit them with a sales pitch because you couldn't get their door any other way. but like if you can use it creatively to really collaborate on content together, then that's something that we're all trying to do. We all need content so we can, bring about our businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you can work on those pieces of the business together and say, hey, let's just get on this project, work on some content, and then you go your way, I'll go my way.
Exactly.
If it makes sense for us to do something, awesome. If not, no hard feelings.
Totally.
I mean, I think that's going to be a big piece of how we all do business, really.
Yeah.
Whether it's through video or whether it's through anything else,
Yeah, 100%. That's the new normal, exactly what you described. That's collaboration 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got too many tools out there not to do it.
Yeah.
So where are you guys going next, man? What's next for Hugo?
So we're it's very much growth for us at the moment. Bunch of product improvements and new features coming out. I spoke a little bit about the spaces, mobile app, a few things like that. On the growth side of things, it's very much, we're creating this new category, right? So before we met, you didn't know you needed meeting note software.
Right.
So here we are saying that your generic note-taking work around your Google Doc, your Evernote, whatever you happen to be doing, your physical notebook, isn't going to cut it for meetings because meeting workflow is so important to your team's culture.
Yeah.
So to do that, we have to really cement our position as leaders in this category. As when you think about setting up a business and your key tools, your CRM, your calendar, your chat app, you're like, man, what are we going to do for our meetings? And that's when we're going to go to Hugo. So being able to do that is a real big focus for us.
Yeah. Blue ocean territory, my man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just trying to go out and really try to create your own lane. I'm sure that's got to be fun, but also a little bit of uphill work too from a branding standpoint.
Totally. Yeah. Especially in 2019. You mentioned as we're walking in here, the software game, it's tough. There's so many tools out there. The average company uses 130 different subscription software tools.
It's crazy.
It's insane. So
it's crazy.
We want to be the 131st. Why are we different in a time when that people are starting to cut back and realize the cost and overhead of having so many tools?
Man, this is going to play out to be pretty interesting, especially with how you guys are operating, trying to bring people all together under one. trying to plug in more and more pieces of like software. What's some of the biggest, I guess, hurdles around trying to get into being that 131st plugin, I guess, people are trying to use?
Totally.
Yeah.
So I think the two trends that we're seeing with the way we work that gets in the way of that is people fragmentation and data fragmentation. People fragmentation is because we're on all ends of the world now. We're not in the same time zone. We're not in the same office. We're not in the same continent as a team anymore because of all those trends we spoke about. So the tools that you use have to support that. If you don't have a stack that is understanding and it helpful to a remote team, you're in trouble. So people are now choosing software on that basis. And we can tell a lot by your software stack. So often people have talked about the tools they're using, and I'm like, man, there's no way you've got remote employees. I can smell it. So that's really important. Yeah. And the second one is the data fragmentation, which is if we have five different places that, you know, the product spec could be, and 10 different places that these designs could be kept, you know, you're going to run into trouble. So we're seeing a lot of businesses get smart and really start to think about where their data is and trying to centralize it. So you need tools that talk, that are integrated, that aren't duplicative, that are going to have some of our tool notes there and some there. We're really focused on those two problems.
Makes too much sense, man. I mean, one thought too, because you're coming out with a book called 10X Culture,
that's
right?
It. Yep.
I mean, man, talking about these teams being all spread all over the globe, because there's companies now that are really trying to encourage people, you know, work from home, of course. That's been like a big wave for the past 10 years. But even more so, work globally.
Yep.
Where they're allowing people to kind of take these like 6 month long type of sabbaticals where they can be out the country, right? I mean, so, you know, what's your thoughts on this, you know, brand new culture, and even talk about your book,
10X Culture? So talking a bit about that remote sort of, you know, global culture, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Why is it amazing? Because here we are trying to recruit the best talent in one of the most competitive cities in the world.
Yep.
Why are we confining ourselves to the Bay Area when we can have anyone we want anywhere in the world? Now technology makes it super easy. We can hop on a Zoom call in 1 second. We can chat on Slack. There's a million other different tools we can use. So we can literally now have the whole world at our fingertips to find the best talent. And that's worked really well for us. We've been able to, we've got team in Brazil, all over the US, we've had in Australia over the years. So we're able now to find the best people wherever they are. And if their lifestyle means they want to go hang out on a beach in Florianopolis, awesome, no problem. We can work together. Or if they want to sit at a desk in San Francisco, that's fine too.
That's perfect, man. That's perfect. So talk about the book now, man.
Yeah.
10X Culture, because that's like a really cool name. I like that.
Yeah. So the story of 10X Culture is we spent a lot of time talking to customers, like any good founder should.
Yep.
And what's really cool is that our customers represent some of the most innovative companies in the world. Some really impressive tech companies like Atlassian and Airbnb and others. And they're doing really amazing things as teams. There's a very good reason why they win, why they're moving faster, why everyone loves working there, while the best ideas are coming out of them. So we started compiling internally for ourselves initially all these little ideas that they were using every day. And then on a level on top of that, we started digging deeper and doing research, and there's some pretty incredible stories out there of how the best teams have been able to compete and win. Things like the Apollo Project. There's some amazing stories, man. That's like before my time, obviously in the 60s.
Yeah.
That is one of the best feats of teamwork in modern history. And it's just not told. So we put together these modern stories, day-to-day, 2019, Atlassian in San Francisco on one end of the extreme, then stories from the Apollo Project in the 60s, some amazing sort of military stories in the War on Terror and things in between that, and we tell it in this short 200-page book, broken up into all these relevant topics, like 29 or 30 secrets on what makes the best teams win as far as culture is concerned. And that's 10X Culture. We thought it'd be fun to put it out and tell the story to help other teams like us win.
I got some really cool ideas around that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
Awesome. Would love to. Yeah. I want to hear them.
Darren, honestly, man, thank you so much just for jumping on the podcast. Please tell everybody how to find you and even try out Hugo.
Yeah, totally. So hugo.team, T-E-A-M, is our domain. Check us out on Twitter. We're at Hugo Product as well. Would love to get your thoughts on 10X Culture. There's a link on our website.
So is it already out? It's already live?
There's a preview available going live next month.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Darren, appreciate the time, man. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be here. Good to meet you.
We're out.
Struggling to connect with buyers in an overcrowded, noisy sales landscape? Today's buyers want more than a spray and pray email blast. Launch a podcast and collaborate on content with people that matter most in your industry. Learn more at salesculture.work.